his house this morning. Amen. Well, I have a couple of things that I would like to brag on. One of them being the fact that we have served the community in such a great capacity this week. We did 160 senior citizen meals on Monday evening. We did ham and turkey and potato salad and regular salad. And not only did we fix those, but we also delivered those on the 7 routes that we have. And so that's something that I will forever be very proud of Parish Christian Center for, is just the service that we do for other people. You know, you're saved to serve. You're blessed to be a blessing. God has helped you so you could help other people. He's healed you so you could help get other people freed up of the things that they're going through in their life. And Wednesday morning, it was just coming down a blunder, and there were tornado watches and warnings and all of those wonderful, exciting things. And I said, you know, God, what would you have us to do today? And he said, Kelly, you just go about your business, what you normally do on Wednesdays. And so we came into the church, and we moved all of the pews forward and put down plastic on the ground, and then proceeded to go get food and unload. And all of this stuff took place in the rain. And if you've never been a part of that and you're able to, I'm going to encourage you to serve. I would be an awful pastor if I didn't challenge you. If you don't walk out of these services here at Parish Christian Center feeling challenged, then I'm not doing my job. And so I challenge each and every single one of you, get in a place where you can serve in your church. If this is your church, if you're calling this your home church, I'm going to challenge you to serve in some way. Now, you may have a Monday through Friday job. Your serving may be buying a cake mix and putting it in the bin. But I'm going to challenge you to serve. There are so many times where I'm saying, God, you know, what about my life? How are you going to help me, God, in this problem? And every time that I've found myself in a place of serving, it seems like my problems get smaller and God gets bigger. And so that's why I'm challenging you to do that. Now, I have some folks that I would like to brag on. So my fabulous, wonderful people that serve their church every week in the sound booth, let's give them a hand, first of all. Amen. Amen. We have some pictures up here on Wednesday because I'm so proud of it, because it was so difficult to do. You know, not everything that God calls you to do is going to be easy, but God will give you the ability to do it. And so as they load those pictures up there, if they are able to be loaded up there, and if not, then we'll go on and I'll show them to each and every single one of you on my phone. We'll see. Who knows? This is the wonderful thing about having live TV, is things don't go right all the time. Now, if you're expecting things to go right in your life all the time, they're not going to. Anyhow, I'm going to move forward with that part. We'll figure that out later. But there were so many people in here working. One of the people that was working was Tim. Tim, raise your hand. I want to tell you that you're a blessing. Amen. You're a blessing, and I want to thank you for serving on Wednesday. That really meant a lot. Every time I looked up, you were working as hard as you possibly could, and that is so special, and it's so important, and I want to tell you thank you. So anyhow, everybody else that helped, it's not that I'm not thankful, but you know, sometimes there are people that they really need a boost in their step, and they need to be recognized. They need to know that they were appreciated. And so anyhow, I am going to do what we do every single Sunday morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Now, one of the things, have you ever been somewhere and you were kind of uncomfortable and you were thinking, there's an elephant in the room, and you were kind of anxious to address it. And so this morning, what I'm going to first and foremost do is address the elephant in the room. And I just feel like there's some folks, and I know that I am myself, there's just a smidge there of maybe irritation or aggravation. Maybe you got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning and there's something and it's just irritated you. If you're aggravated, if you're stressed about something, I'm going to encourage you to lift up your hands and to let God bring that off of you. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of irritation or aggravation, but what He has given us is power, love, and a sound mind. And so, God, in Jesus' name, right now I loose the Holy Spirit in this place. And I call out aggravation and I call out irritation. God, every hindrance that the devil has set forth for this service, I tell it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I lose peace in this place. God, right now I speak to addiction. I tell it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. And I speak to healing. Every person that you're in need of a healing, I'm going to ask you to put your hands up. I believe God wants to heal you in this place. I speak healing, God, on your children right now. If you're joining live on Facebook and you're in need of a healing, I'm going to encourage you to raise your hands up right on your couch. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everything that you're going to do in this service. Lord, let us be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to minister to you this morning on something. And I can always tell when God is dealing with me on a matter because He will bring it to the forefront over and over and over until I get it. Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes it's hard for me to get something the first couple of times. Anybody else like that? I'm like that. I don't catch on to things super easy all the time. And so it takes me just a little bit. And one of the things that has just been at the forefront the whole week is just compassion. Compassion. Monday night, I think that's probably when God started dealing with me about that. One of the joys of my life, and it has brought me more joy than anything really. But I love feeding the older folks. And that is like my baby. And I'm not a good cook. And I'm not the most organized person. And it never fails. On Monday, I get up there and I'll have too much macaroni. And then I'll be short 50. And then we'll have to rob Peter to pay Paul and all that stuff. And we'll have to go scoop out macaroni out of trays and put some over here and just all this stuff. But at the end of the day, that is one of the things that I love so much. And I feel so honored every time I get to do it. And Monday night I was doing my rounds. And apparently this is going to be a service where I just have to preach through emotion, and I'm going to do that. But I was doing my rounds, and I walked through the threshold of this little man's house, and about 4 or 5 weeks before that, I helped sing happy anniversary to him and his wife. And they had been married basically their whole life. And I always love seeing people like that. And a couple weeks after that, I walked in about 5 minutes after she died. And it just broke my heart. And I hugged them. I loved on them. I prayed for them. And I walked out of there and I said, you know, God, only you can comfort. Only you can have the compassion, really, that we need. And so Monday, this past Monday, rolls around. And I walked in there. And I love cantankerous old folks. I'm going to be one of them. I can tell you right now, I'll be 100 years old, and I'll probably still have platinum blonde hair. And if it ain't blonde, I want it to be purple. I've earned it at that point. But I'm planning on being cantankerous, all right? So anyways, I walked up in there, and he was walking in his walker down this hall. And he always says, Pastor Kelly, you just come on in here. Don't, if you can't hear me, just come in here anyways. And when I looked in his eyes, he was just broken. And he had cried so much that his eyelids on the bottom of his eyes, it just looked like they were turned inside out. And he just started to weep. And he said, Pastor Kelly, I'm just about to have a breakdown. And I thought, thank God somebody in life can just keep it real and keep it honest. And I just hugged him and we just cried together. And I said, look, I'm about to have a breakdown too. Let's just plan it and let's mark it on the calendar. We're going to have it here together today, right now. And we just cried together. And I walked out of there and God said, Kelly, don't ever question your cooking because it's really not about the cooking. I'm going to put you in places where you're going to be more compassionate. You're going to understand people better. You know, there's situations that I've judged in the past and I judged them too harshly. And I can be very real with that. And I said, God, help me to be more compassionate. Because God, sometimes when I'm looking at somebody, I'm judging them instead of loving them. And God, take every ounce of that out of me and replace it with who you are. There are people going through things that they cannot even talk about. There are things that people have gone through they cannot even talk about. And I think that the most important thing in life is to be able to be somebody that can put yourself in somebody else's place and be compassionate towards them. And what I've learned in life is that you're not going to understand everything that everybody does. And here's the relief. You don't have to. You don't have to understand every decision that everybody makes. You don't have to agree with it. But what you do have to do is be compassionate and be loving. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 30 through 37. And it says here, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. Now, what I can tell you is this right here. What I've learned about the Word of God is that you can break it down and you can live on it. You can build your life on it and you can hang on every single word. And what I can tell you is there's times where you're going to be walking down a road per se. You're going to be in your life and you fall into the hands of a disaster. You fall into the hands of chaos. You fall into the hands of people that aren't kind to you. Now, can I have a lady right here? Can I have somebody take that baby? I know we're not in a scripted service. The Holy Spirit doesn't show up in them type of services. What I'm trying to create in Parish Christian Center is called reverence. So if that means that I need to stop a service, now, that's my godson, and his parents aren't going to get offended at me because his daddy is my dad's godson. So they're used to this. Reverence is this right here. You take your children to the bathroom before the church gets started. Why do we do that? Well, so we can create a place where people can worship. Now, I know this isn't the most politically correct thing. Look here. If I was worried about politics, I have picked the wrong business to be in. But what I'm worried about is souls. What I'm concerned about is, can a person come into Parish Christian Center, sit down, and be fed the Word of God? Can that happen in this place? Because you know what? It's our job, each and every single one of us, to create an atmosphere that that can happen. So I'm going to begin to teach reverence. If that offends you, I'm going to ask you very kindly to get over yourself. Amen? If it offends you, I'm going to ask you very kindly to get over yourself, because it's not all about self. It's about God at the end of the day. So in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. And like I was saying, there are times in your life where, Jenny, unfortunately, we fall into something. We fall into maybe our own bad mistakes. We fall into something bad. We fall into something. Let me tell you something. Some of the things that you fall up into, they were of no mistake of your own. You did not cause them. You didn't make the bad decision that you happened to live with. But by golly, it's in your lap nonetheless. And we need to spend less time asking God, well, God, why did you allow this to happen? I've done everything I could do so that things like this wouldn't happen. See, it's not the time to be asking God those questions. It's time to stand in faith and say, God, in Jesus' name, if you brought me to it, you will certainly walk me through it. So, Daddy God, I choose to move forward and get on past it onto better days. But what we have to do is realize that there will be times where we go through some very hard things, where we endure things that we don't want to go through. But let me tell you something, you're going to go through them, and when you get past them, you are going to come out better than what you were before when you got started. You've got to place that in your heart because you are a fighter. You have fight in you. From the oldest person in here down to the youngest, God has given you something called the Holy Spirit. And when he gave it to you, he said, I'm sending the Comforter. Now, there are certain things that I cannot go through on my own. God never intended me to go through them on my own. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to guide me, to comfort me, and to help me when it's too much on my own. So it says that he fell into the hands of robbers, and they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Look here. Some of the things that you go through in your life, they strip you down to the very bare person of who you are. Look here. I'm always relieved when somebody says, I am to the end of myself. Praise God. Your pastor and God was both wondering when you was going to get there. Praise the Lord that you're there. There's things that are going to strip you down. Look here. I'm in a season of that right now, and here's what I'm learning. And it's not easy to learn it. There were things there never should have been there to begin with. If God strips them away, don't be mad about it. Say, God, just put what you want there. You just put it there, God. Let it be. Let it be. And so it says, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Now, we would all think that a priest should be compassionate. We would all think that a priest should be a good person. Let me just give you a little tidbit there. We got to stop judging people off of who we think that they are and start realizing who they actually are. Because there's expectations that we have of people just because they're this or because they're that, and they can never live up to those expectations. There have been things that I've thought about people, and I thought, well, they would never do this because they're this. And then lo and behold, they did them. Praise the Lord. Is it too real in here this morning? Well, it's going to get even more real, so just hold on. So the priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side too. Look here, there's going to be people that pass you by. And they're not going to only just pass you by. They're going to make sure they're on the other side of the road when they're passing you by. Because they don't want to deal with you. That's okay. We have to stop looking at people as our source. Because there is no person that is our source. And there have been times where I've looked at people for comfort and for support, and they were nowhere to be found. Guess what? I was looking in the wrong person. My help doesn't come from this person or that person. My help comes from the living God and nothing else.
Yes, amen.
Who can unscramble eggs? Only God. Who can make lemonade out of lemons? Only God. Only God. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. Now, I want to tell you something about God. For everybody that's ever sat under a dumb preacher, and let me tell you, there are some out there, and sometimes I'm dumb. All right? It's funny, isn't it, Tim? This is called keeping it very real. You stick around, I'm going to show you how to be even more real than you are. You're a very sweet man. Anyways, it says here, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When you find yourself in places in your life where you did not expect to be, I want to tell you something. Whatever you've heard about God, if it's not exactly what I'm about to say, then you heard the wrong thing. Because God will go to right where you're at. He will go to you. He will pull you up out of the worst things ever. He will snatch you out of disaster. He will snatch you up out of chaos. He will snatch you up out of heartbreak. He will snatch you up out of all of that mess. And if people are telling you that you got to have your life together to come to Christ, they're full of it. Because God never said you got to be good enough for me. Because we can never be that. But God sent a Samaritan. Didn't just send him down the road so he could pop up in there. He sent him right where he was. Right where he was. See, God wants to meet somebody today right in the very place where they're at. Right where you're at. That's how personal of a God that we serve. God is personal. He makes it personal. When you're struggling in your life, God makes that personal. And he says, I'm going to help that person. Not because they're good enough, not because they didn't make any number 10s today or this week, but because they're my kid. There are things that I would do. I can't even say on live TV what I would do for my kids. Not even legal. Okay? Mara, is there anything we wouldn't do for our kids? There isn't anything God hasn't already done for you. And he's going to keep doing them. Sometimes we can zig when we should have zagged, and we say, well, God, what on earth can you do with this? Ugh. Amazingly enough, God always makes it turn out for our good. Why? Because we love him. Because we love God. And so it says here, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took compassion on him. When he saw him, he took pity on him. When you see other people and they're in a bad part of their life, what are you doing? Are you taking judgment or are you taking compassion? Because you're taking one or the other. So many times I have been around religious morons that have said, I know, they're not going to be pretty today. I have heard people, and this is awful. Well, that happened to them because they did this, this, and this. Ugh. No wonder people don't want to come to church. All the Christians are mean and judgmental. Please don't be like that. And if you're like that, please, for the love of God, don't tell people you come to church here, because I don't want that kind of thing going on. I ain't down with that. What I'm down with is people keeping it real and people not being judgmental hypocrites. That's what I'm into. You're getting the real raw version. I've been in ministry my entire life. I've been around a lot of judgmental hypocrites calling themselves Christians. All I can say is I don't want to be one, and I don't want y'all to be one. What are you seeing when you're looking at somebody and they're going through something rough? Are you being judgmental? Are you being rude? Or can you be compassionate? Can you look at them and just take pity on them? Can you look at them and say, you know what? I'm going to give that person the benefit of the doubt. I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know what's going on in their family. I don't know what led them up to this point. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to judge them, and I'm just going to stand in the gap for them and intercede and pray for them, because God wants to meet that person right where they're at. See, God needs more of that than he needs our opinion. There's too many opinions, and opinions aren't facts. Whether they're my opinions or whether they're your opinions, opinions are opinions. Everybody has them. And it says here, but he saw him and he took pity on him. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. When was the last time you found yourself bandaging somebody else's wounds, per se? When was the last time that you helped to heal someone's life up? You know, one of the worst positions in life to be, and I can speak out of this because I've been living it, one of the worst places, and nobody wants to be in this place, is when you just have raw emotion. And everything is out there, and you feel exposed, and you feel like, And what you need in that moment is you need God, and you need God to send somebody to help you bandage your life up. And we can make the choice to be that, or we can make the choice to be like everybody else and talk bad about that person, judge them. And this guy, he looked at him, he took pity on him, he had compassion on him, he went and he bandaged his wounds, and then he poured oil and wine on the wounds, and then he put the man on his own donkey. So when he put him on his donkey, he left himself with nothing. Very few people are willing to give of themselves to the point where at times it leaves them with nothing. See, that guy didn't have multiple donkeys over there. No, he had his donkey. And when he saw that man and he saw him hurting, he looked at him and he took compassion on him. He saw that he was beaten. He bandaged those wounds, and then he picked him up and he put him on his donkey. I've been to so many funerals, done so many funerals. And one thing that always is said at funerals, and it always annoys me, well, if you need anything, just call. Don't be somebody that says that and doesn't intend to do something if you're called. I always think, I'm going to put a calendar at the back. I'm just going to tell people to sign up. Call this person. They're going to be hurting on Monday. You need to call them. The next day, somebody else, you know. But sometimes compassion is going to cost you. Sometimes compassion is going to cost you. The last thing on earth that I felt like putting everybody through on Wednesday, and myself, was taking all these heavy chairs and moving them to the front, putting down the plastic, and I was giving God every reason why that was not good. Lord, we don't want to ruin your house. It's going to get dirt all up in here. God, that's your house. That is your church. And God said, Kelly, you are the church. And what about those people that aren't going to have enough if you just decide it's an inconvenience? See, compassion will inconvenience you. It will. What we know is that lots of things that God calls us to aren't going to be the easiest thing, but they're going to be the right thing. And so he took the donkey, he took the man, and he placed him on his donkey, and then he took him to an inn, and he took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins, and he gave them to the innkeeper. And he told him, look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? What kind of person are you really? What kind of person are you really? Now, I'm looking at a bunch of people that I think are the salt of the earth, in my opinion. But see, look here. I ain't living with you. All right? I ain't reading your Snapchats. I ain't reading your texts. I'm not all up in your business. And I've got a public service announcement that I'm going to make this morning. Since I'm already on one, to take the liberty. I ain't going to be that pastor that's all up in your business. I don't know. This brother's going, amen. I don't know everything that you're going through. And the moment that you call me, I'm going to be there to help you. But look here. I got enough issues of my own. If you don't want me all up in the middle of your business, then I ain't going to be. The moment you call me and you need me, I'll be there. People call, well, what do you think about so-and-so? Look here, I don't think nothing about so-and-so because I ain't thinking about them. And stop calling me, asking me what I think. Because look here, when I think, it's dangerous anyways. Brother Larry's going, amen. Right? Praise God, amen. God has not called me to be meddling in all y'all's stuff. And I ain't going to be and I don't want to be. When you need me, you call me and I'll be there. If I don't see you the first Sunday, I'm probably not going to harass you. You keep it up 2, 3, 4, 5 Sundays, then I'll start the harassment. But what I realize is that there are things in everybody's life that is hurting y'all. And there are things in my life that is hurting me. And what we have to do, the word says, he that winneth souls is wise. You know, most of the church growth that's taken place since I started pastoring here, I never even invited the new people to come to church. You know why? Because I know who God is. And I know that nobody goes anywhere without God drawing them. And I don't think that evangelism is plucking people up out of other churches where they were perfectly fine and called. Compassion. Compassion. That's what we're ministering on today. You know what? I believe that God is going to put people in your path to be compassionate to you. There are days that you're going to just be on top of the mountain. And then you're going to have some days where you're struggling. Or maybe you found yourself and you're walking down that road, or you're bugging your cart in Walmart, and everybody's avoiding you because they done heard something about you. Well, guess what? They can keep on hearing it until they hear something else about somebody else, and then they're bugged about that. God continually tells me, Kelly, keep your head up. You're my daughter. You know how hard it is for people to keep their head up when they're going through hell? Amen. Well, guess what? Just because it's hard to do don't mean you don't do it. You keep that head up. And when you see somebody's head down, you realize that that person there, they're going through something, and what they need is a kind word, yes, a prayer, a smile, a how you doing. Amen. When I saw that little old man, something just inside of me just broke. And I thought, and I put myself in his place, and I said, God, there is nothing on this earth that could ever replace the wife that he left that's now with you. But God, in this moment, God, let him feel who you are right now. Yes. See, I used to think, when I first started pastoring, I used to try to come up with an answer for everybody. What I very quickly learned, a lot of this stuff, there ain't an answer for it. Not an answer for some things until you get to heaven, and when you get there, you're not going to be concerned about that. And his little eyelids were so raw, Shelly, it just broke my heart. He said, I feel like I'm about to have a breakdown. I said, it's okay to have a breakdown. Let's go ahead and have it. We'll have one together. And then what we're going to do is pull ourselves together and go on. One of the most healing things for people is when they're having a moment, or they're having a season, and somebody has the intelligence and the compassion enough to just be right there in that place with them and cry with them. Love on them and be compassionate. There's things that you're not going to have the answers to all their problems. About 3 years ago, I said, God, I don't have the answers for this stuff. He said, well, Kelly, I never called you to be Dr. Phil. There's only one Dr. Phil, and he does a good job at being Dr. Phil. And I'm not going to try to take his place, Dalton. So let's go now to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 2. And it says here, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. In another translation it says, bear one another's burdens. What I can say, one of the things that makes me so proud of this church and the people in it, is that when the word says, when one member of the body suffers, you all suffer. I see that here. And there's really nothing a pastor could be more proud of than that right there. I'll see somebody and we'll all know that they're hurting, And when they come up in here, we're all around them. We're all loving on them. If one of the kids gets up here and loses their spot, the youth pastor's going to go up there and sing with them. Praise God. You know, if my kids are acting up, somebody's going to get on to them because they know I'm having a hard time. When Charles is over there coughing like he's been doing for 30-something years, we're going to all look his way. We're going to make sure he's still upright. We're just going to keep an eye on him. I'm not preaching this message because I think I don't have a church full of compassionate people. I'm preaching this message because I'm bringing awareness to the fact that now more than ever before, we have to be a people of compassion. We have to be a people of compassion. We have to be able to stop focusing on what we think about the person or what we think about the situation and just take a look and say, God, how many times have you come to me right where I was and ministered healing and hope to my life? God, help me to be that person where I can do the same thing for other people. Amen. Compassion. Couple days ago, I don't know, I can always tell when God's doing something because he'll just repeat. It's like the same thing is on repeat in my life, just with different people. Last week I went and sat with somebody at the nursing home on their deathbed and they called me back and they said, well, there we got another one. And I used to dread doing that. But you know what? When I go up in there now, I feel like I've just been given $1 million. Because I get to go up in there. I get to go up in there. And I get to sit by them. And I get to cry with them. And I get to pray with them. And I get to probably be the last pastor or person that's going to share who God really is. I don't do this job because I'm all put together all the time, because God could find somebody way better. One thing I will do is suit up and show up. Sometimes compassion is just a matter of you being the best version of you that you can possibly be. And I felt so honored to go up there this week. And I sat by a person and I just held his hand. And he cried. And when he cried, I started crying. And I wish at some point in my life I could not do that. But I have trouble. And I don't like to see people hurting because that really bothers me. And I held his hand, and he said, Pastor Kelly, I keep coming to these places in my life where I'm just bumping into things, and I'm so overwhelmed. And what I saw in him was I saw myself. I said, well, that must be in the air because I keep bumping into being overwhelmed too. So we're going to cry this out in this moment. So I just want to read to you. And at the end of that prayer, I learned something in the ministry with my dad about 5 or 6 years ago. We had a Catholic deacon up in here. And I love Catholics. If you're a Catholic in here, I love you. This is an interdenominational church, by the way. And I don't care what you are. You can come up here and sit and listen to me all day long if you want to. We had a Catholic deacon for about 25 years. And he was on his deathbed. And my dad went to him and talked with him. I don't even know if he was conscious. And I was not even the pastor at this time, but I said, Dad, what did you do with him when he was on his deathbed? if you're going to take over a church, you need to know. Right? Well, I've never been afraid to ask him anything because he'll flat out tell you. He said, well, Kelly, I committed him to God. I committed him to God, and I told God whatever his will was, do it in this man's life. I was sitting there with this man, and I was holding his hand, and we had done had our crying session. And he said, I felt God, and I was asking God in this moment. I said, God, what do you want me to say to him? He said, Kelly, you ask him what he wants in his life. Does he want to die, or does he want to walk up out of here? You ask him what he wants. I said, Mr. So-and-so, I know what they're telling you. But God is asking you, what do you want? Do you want to live, or do you want to walk up out of here? He said, I'm so thankful that you've asked. He said, I want to live and I want to walk out of here. I said, then that's what we're praying for. And we're not going to entertain anything else. And I said, God, in Jesus' name, I commit him to you right now. God, he's wanting to live. So God, I ask that you'd honor that. Lord, and then I stopped that prayer and I said, what are you going to do if he gives you more life? Are you going to walk out of here and tell everybody how good that he was to you? Yes, ma'am. I said, okay. See, when you're asking God for something, God wants to know what you're going to do with it when he gives it to you. Because you know what most people do when God gives them what they ask for? They gripe about it. You ever ask God for something? I ask God for my kids, and then every other second I'm like, oh my God, they're just rebellious. They're awful. God, I just thought I was bad. You don't think God corrects me when I start griping about my kids? He's like, Kelly, you asked for them. You better suck it up. You better stop. Them are my kids. A lot of people, God will give them something, and they'll gripe about what God gave them. God wants to know, if he gives you what you're asking him for, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And I walked out of there, and I just felt so great about life that day. Not because I had been superwoman, but just because I was proud of myself, because I thought, you know, in that moment, I feel like I did everything that God himself would have done. And my conscience is clear when it comes to that. Compassion. Compassion. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. The people that you're closest to are probably the people that you're meanest to. I'm not ignorant to that. Couples, I get it. Be kind and compassionate to one another. And here's such an important part that a lot of us want to wash over. Forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. You want to be compassionate? You want to be godly? Forgive. 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 Oh, I can forgive them, but I ain't never going to forget. I have said it. I say that sometimes, and it is not godly. Because I full well know that every time God has ever forgiven me, he forgot about it.
Right.
So am at fault with that sometimes. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Last place for me this morning, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. If you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, I want to tell you right now that God chose you. You're not a reject or a cull. God chose you. And not only did He chose you, but He calls you His chosen. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. In perfect unity. If you are going through something this morning, and it seems like the biggest thing that you've ever gone through in your life, what I want to tell you is that God is so compassionate to you, and that He loves you so much. And I challenge each person this week, I challenge you to be a person of integrity and compassion. Integrity and compassion. And I want to remind you, you don't have to understand what someone else is going through. You don't have to agree with whatever they're going through and why they're going through it. And remember, be compassionate towards them. You don't know the full thing. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your word. God, I thank You, Lord, that it was sown and planted, God, and I thank You that You're going to make it grow. Lord, I praise You for everything that You've done in this service. God, I call these people blessed. I call them the head and not the tail. I call them above and not beneath. God, everything, Lord, that they are in need of, God, I ask that You would provide for them, God, in a way that only You can. Lord, the barriers that we keep coming up against, God, I thank You for breakthrough in those places, God, in our lives this week. And Lord, I ask that You would bless us, God, and keep us and make Your face to shine upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.